America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Three world records were set in athletics at the recent Tokyo Olympics in Japan. In the women's triple jump, Venezuela's Yulimar Rojas soared to a distance of 15 meters 67. And in the men's and women's 400 meters hurdles, Carsten Warholm of Norway and Sydney McLaughlin of the United States broke their own world records. Warholm lowered his mark to 45.94 seconds in a race that's been described as one of the greatest in Olympic history.
It's so crazy, and it's by far the biggest moment of my life. And I told myself going in here today that, you know, this can actually define everything that me and my coach has been working for, all the hours that I put in.
Meanwhile, silver medalist Rye Benjamin describes the thrilling Olympic race.
I was coming. I just ran out of space, but I felt my legs. But like I said, ran out of real estate, but it's a phenomenal race, you know. This was probably the best race ever in Olympic history. I don't think any other race compares to what we just did.
Just 24 hours later, another phenomenal world record foot race in Tokyo. Sydney McLaughlin edged American teammate Dalila Muhammad. In this Sunny Side of Sports Olympic highlight, VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more.
The two American hurdlers, gold medalist Sydney McLaughlin and silver medalist Dalila Muhammad, ran the race of their lives, with both women breaking the world record in a thrilling race to the finish. Champion Sydney McLaughlin beat her own world record that she set in June at the U.S. Olympic trials, where she became the first woman to break the 52-second barrier in the 400-meter hurdles. McLaughlin told reporters her new world record of 51.46 seconds was achieved with the help of a very fast track.
I definitely say it's a fast track. You can feel the difference, you know, it being Mondo and everything. I don't know how to really describe it. A lot of people talked about the shoes, but I do think it's just one of those tracks. It gives you that energy right back and pushes you and propels you forward.
This year marks McLaughlin's second Olympic appearance. She was only 17 when she made her Olympic debut at the 2016 Rio Games, but admits she does feel the added weight of being an elite athlete.
I think there is a lot, you know, a lot of it comes from social media. A lot of it comes from just outside things that you can't control. I think it's really important to focus on the things that you can control. And I think for me personally, what's really helped is my relationship with God. It's given me a perspective to deal with a lot of those emotions that the world throws at you. And, you know, in terms of people who are struggling with it, I do feel for them, because this is a really hard thing to do, to be at this high level and have to compete with the whole world watching you. So I feel for them and I pray for them. And you know, I just hope that everybody can get to a place where they can get back to enjoying what they love to do.
Silver medalist Dalila Muhammad also ran a personal best with a time of 51.58 seconds. 5 years ago, she won gold in the 400-meter hurdles in Rio, and all eyes were on Muhammad in Tokyo as she prepared to defend her title. And after the race, she told reporters she feels no disappointment with second place.
Kudos to Sydney for winning. That was absolutely amazing, and nothing to take away from her. But, you know, I think in general, just we as a society need to celebrate all of the accomplishments that are made and be happy with the accomplishments that you make within yourself. And to just be sitting here 1, 2, 3 with crazy fast times is just an accomplishment in itself. So I'm truly proud of that. Yeah, so no mixed emotions here today. There's always things that you want to do better just as an athlete, as a competitor. There's small little checkups that I felt that I could have done better in that race, but it's not beating. It's not a, you know, me beating myself up because it didn't happen on an Olympic, you know, gold performance, but just me going back to that checking board and thinking, okay, you know, I might have another opportunity to do so. So using this race as just that motivation for the next, and yeah, I'm super happy with it today, and this is not my last race of my career.
The two women can now add their gold and silver to the medal count for the United States.
You know, I think it's just a testament of our hard work. I think, you know, American athletes, especially all the men too, but, you know, we definitely just push ourselves. We see it at Olympic trials. It's ridiculous just to get on this Olympic team. You have to be at your very, very best that day. And that drive and that motivation just continues at the Olympics. So definitely just pushing ourselves to just be at our very, very best and pushing each other.
Sydney McLaughlin has said competing against Alila Muhammad goes much deeper than a rivalry. She said iron sharpens iron. It's two people pushing each other to be their best. We also saw the best from Femke Bol of the Netherlands, who broke the European record to take home the bronze. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Squatty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, 5-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Nigerian sprinter Enoch Adegoke qualified for the finals of the men's 100 meters race at the Tokyo Olympics. But the 21-year-old Adegoke was not able to finish because of a hamstring injury. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Enoch about his Olympic experience.
My experience in Tokyo was very golden, a very good one. And it's something that will linger to forever be in my memory because it's very special to me. It's a landmark. It's a great feat I achieved here. And I really thank God for what he has done through me.
You came very close to podium performance, but for the hamstring injury, how do you feel about it?
Yes, I came close to getting a podium performance, but the hamstring, yeah, I feel bad. And at the same time, I really thank God. Yeah, it happened. And you might be like, why am I thanking God it happened? God knows the best, actually. I was very optimistic and trusting God for a very good performance in, of course, getting a medal here. But then some things happened that we can't really control. Felt a bit disappointed immediately happened, but then I know God knows the best. So I really thank God and I know that everything will be fine.
Can you tell Sunnyside of Sports listeners how long you've been in athletics and what are your future plans?
Well, I've been in athletics now for over 5 years. And I've been training under my coach, Koyokichi Ayokunle Odelusi. And it's been good. My future plans, yeah, I have a lot of goals and targets to meet up with in athletics, and I trust God to help me. You know, there are a lot of records I have in mind to break by God's grace, a lot of records to set. And even beyond that, I have a lot of plans for athletics as well that goes beyond my own personal goals. So I believe as time goes by, everything will unfold.
That's Nigerian Olympic sprinter Enoch Adegoke. And Enoch spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Enefi Okudo Obong, a member of the Nigerian 4x400 meters gold-winning relay team from the Sydney Olympic Games. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge successfully defended his Olympic marathon title on Sunday in Sapporo, Japan, where he clocked a winning time of 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 38 seconds. Two runners born in Somalia, but now representing European countries, Abdi Nagie of the Netherlands and Bashir Abdi of Belgium, won the silver and bronze medals, respectively. Olympic marathon fans are talking about Abdi waving to his friend Bashir to keep up. offering support in the final few kilometers of the marathon. As a result, Bashir kept Kenya's Lawrence Chirono off the medals podium. Chirono finished 2 seconds behind Bashir in fourth place. Haroon Maruf of VOA Somali Service contacted Abdi Nagye in the Netherlands and asked for his reaction to winning the Olympic silver medal.
My reaction is, really good. I'm so happy. We were preparing this for 2 years. Last year it was canceled because of the pandemic. And this year we were able to do it with a lot of restrictions. But my preparation was good, and alhamdulillah, I delivered good results. I'm so happy. As a dream come true. I'm very happy for my teammate, Bashir Abdi. It was a good 2 crazy days, actually, the last 2 days.
So you mentioned Bashir Abdi. Tell me about him. When did you meet him, and how did you train together for the Olympics?
We know since 2008. And I'm training with him since last 5 months. So we were long friends. And last 5 months, I joined his group. So we were training in Ethiopia in March and April, June and July in France. So, yeah, we are very close. We were training like every day together, so many months. And to get to the podium, it was a wild dream that came true.
The international viewers of television saw the images of you encouraging Abdi to finish it strong and to stay with you, to come with you and be also a medal winner. Tell me about that. What happened?
It was actually a reaction that, I didn't plan. We never talked to each other how we will run. Both of us, we were doing our own thing. I was with my Netherlands team. He was with Belgium team. Each one had his own preparation in the last 10 days. And then during the race, we never talked to each other, actually. We found each other at 35, I think 33 kilometer, when we were 7 guys. Even until that time, we never talked to each other. Around 39, I saw he was, he had some tough time. I encouraged him again at 40, 40 and a half. I encouraged him again, and I knew something was wrong because he was also a little bit stronger than me in the training. And he's a good athlete. He had medal in European Championships. He was very strong on the track in June, 10,000 meter when he was running with Mo Farah. So I knew, he had something, but I never knew it was, I didn't know what he had. So I tried to encourage him until actually the last moment. I was feeling very, very strong. And then I was thinking, let me try to stay with him, because if I make the move, the Kenyan guy will go with me, and then he will have tough time. So I was waiting until I was making sure it's now 100 meter. He can close his eyes and give the whole thing what he has. And amazing that I did that. It was natural reaction for me towards him because of our brotherhood, our heritage. We are both Somali. We are both friends. We train together. It never happened in the world. That moment, I never thought about it. And after one day, it was crazy. The whole world was talking about. I just came back from the King of the Netherlands. He was talking about everyone. Every person is talking about that moment and not about my medal. So, I'm very happy for that.
Tell me exactly what you were saying to him. Were you telling him to stay with you? And you told us earlier in the Somali interview that you are making a history together. You want him to stay with you. Tell me exactly the conversation you had with him.
I remember I said one time, Bashir, stay with me. We are writing history in Somali. Again, I told him, try to stay on my back. So just to hang on my back, and I will just pull you. again in Somali, because if I was saying in English, my kid in Finland will understand. So all these things I was saying in Somali, in Somali language. And then the last 100 meter, I was telling him, come on, in English. So I was saying, come on, come on. But because I knew, yeah, it's 100 meter, it's now all of nothing. Even the killing guy will start sprinting. I have to secure my place. But before that, I was talking with him, Somali, and Bashir was not able to respond. So I knew he had a really tough time. He was not even able to tell me what was going on. And it's very hard. You can't breathe. The breathing is already a problem, so you can't talk when you have a problem. And he had really some pain. He had pain on his muscle. That was why he was a tough time. But normally he's a very strong athlete who is very dangerous on the last part of the race.
Did you thought about missing out medal position yourself? Because as you said, you waited for him. Even the last few seconds until you crossed the line, you were gesturing to him, telling him to come with you. What was in your mind?
My mind was to help him. That was number one. But we make nervous. The Kenyan guy become nervous when he saw we were helping each other. He become nervous. And even sport is like that. You can see in football, some big player will miss penalty because he can't control his nerve. So the Kenyan guy get nervous. But again, the guy who was number four is a big athlete, is very strong athlete. He's the last winner of Boston Marathon, Chicago Marathon. They are all major marathons. His last six marathons, he win all of them. So it was a great athlete. So I was playing with fire. So, but yeah, it was a dream because, as I said, the last 5 months, but especially the last 7 weeks, we were in France, both of us, in a small village in France, every morning, every afternoon, training together. And when you have that connection, that experience, and when we were training, we were going for medal, and it was coming true. But now I was afraid he will miss that out, and it will be very painful, for him then. So, yeah, it was just a crazy moment. Now I understand why people are reacting, this way. It is the highest sport level you can do. And that to show that friendship, I'm very proud of it. As Somali, we are very open people who help each other, and I hope we will inspire our Somali people and the rest of the world.
What did Bashir Abdi say to you at the end of the race? He was very exhausted.
He was very thankful, of course, but yeah, even in training we help each other, and then Belgium and Netherlands, they are neighbors, so until now every person I will meet, if he's from Belgium, he will come to me and say hi, and then he said, I'm from Belgium, thank you. Like, all Belgium is thankful what I did for them. But as Bashir, of course, he's thankful to me. I'm very thankful I did this. Our brotherhood will be stronger, and that we help each other, because we were helping each other the last 5 months until the finish line. So yeah, it is amazing.
So there were two Kenyan athletes, one finished ahead of you, one finished behind the two of you. Did they say anything to you?
The winner is a very good friend of mine. I was training with him the last 4 years before I joined the Bashir group 5 months ago. So he was very happy to me. That's why you can see he's hugging me and he's smiling and he's very happy for me. We are good friends, and we have the same manager. So me and the number one, the Kenyan winner, we have the same manager, the same sponsor. I was training with them 4 years, so he was very happy for me. He never showed something negative. Even the guy who was number four, he never told me anything bad. He understood there was nothing against him that I was doing. It was just I was helping my teammate. So... yeah, it's nothing than else. It's not we are in war or something. It was just that I was helping my teammate, my friend, my long friend, and that's it. And we never tackled him. We never pushed him. And that's what was good about running. It's very fair sport. You can't say the referee did this. You don't need VAR. You don't need anything. it is, yeah, you have to speak with your legs.
You have to speak with your legs. That's Abdi Nagiye, who spoke with his legs Sunday in winning the Olympic marathon silver medal in Japan. And Abdi spoke with Haroon Maruf of VOA Somali Service on the telephone from the Netherlands. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including a report by the Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center finds the U.S., India, and Brazil suffered the most cases of COVID-19 since the pandemic began. Listen to Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Kim. Africa's only representative in the Olympic street skateboarding competition for women is back home in South Africa, recovering from an injury. She was injured while practicing in Tokyo. Vicky Stark spoke to the 15-year-old skateboarder by phone from Cape Town.
Boipelo Ahua from the diamond mining town of Kimberley was the youngest member of South Africa's Olympic team. She would have been among the first skateboarders to ever compete at the Olympics, as the sport was included for the first time. But sadly, it was not to be. She injured herself badly during practice.
The trick that I was doing is something that I'm used to. So basically what I was doing is that I just wanted to make sure that I really have it and that I can move on and focus on something else. And that's when I fell. After falling, I just got right back up and I continued skating, because I'm skateboarding before all the time.
But she soon felt the pain and consulted a doctor. She was told she had a pelvic fracture and wouldn't be able to compete. She was extremely disappointed, but happy that she got to stay to watch the finals of both the men and women's competitions.
I was definitely inspired every time I watched them skate. It was like all of those people are my idols, and seeing them do the tricks that they did was just insane.
She was particularly impressed with 13-year-old Momiji Nishiya of Japan and 13-year-old Raisa Leal of Brazil, who took gold and silver respectively in the street skateboarding competition for women. Ahua also got to meet her idol, American skateboarder Nysha Houston, whose videos she watches every day.
I had conversations with him. I feel like at this point he knows me, and I feel like he'll be able to recognize me at future events.
She says her love for skateboarding started at the age of 5. She would steal her brother's skateboard and skate in the house. At first, her parents were against it because they felt it was dangerous for girls.
I think when I was 6, turning 7, my mom finally allowed me to go to the skate park. I feel like at that point they just gave up, because all I wanted to do was skate.
With the attitude of a champion, while lying flat on her back in bed at home, she says she's setting her sights on the next games.
I feel like 2024, we'll have more African skateboarders representing us at the Olympics, because I feel like by then we'll be more informed and people are actually committed to like making it to the Olympics. Because before this, as skateboarders, me personally as a skateboarder, I've never dreamt of being at the Olympics. And now that's like actually one of my goals. Once I'm able to skate again, I'm definitely going to be training and working towards the 2024.
Does she have any advice for other girls who want to get into the sport?
I'll say to them that don't feel intimidated by the male. When you get into the sport, focus on yourself every day and don't compare yourself to others, because we all have different styles in skateboarding, as it's an art form, and just believe in yourself and work hard and skate every single day.
Ahua hopes to be back on her board by the end of September. This is Vicky Stark.
Sporty greetings. This is Clyde Tlou, an African football analyst. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sport on The Voice of America.
Clyde and many other football fans have been focusing on the French capital. That's where longtime Barcelona and Argentina star Lionel Messi held his first news conference Wednesday with his new club, Paris Saint-Germain. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us once again with reaction from Messi and PSG's president. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Tuesday, Lionel Messi touched down in France to a hero's welcome, just days after he bid farewell to his boyhood team, Barcelona. And Wednesday morning, Messi appeared at his first news conference, where he told reporters he's ready to help PSG clinch their first ever Champions League title. Messi says, I come to help, to try to give the maximum. I come with great enthusiasm and with more desire than ever. Many times I said it, my goal and my dream is to win the Champions League again. And I think this is the ideal place to have more opportunities to achieve that. Messi was also joined on Wednesday by PSG president and CEO Nasser Al-Khelaifa, who called the signing a historic day for football.
I'm very happy and very proud to present Leo Messi as Paris Saint-Germain player. And this is amazing and historic day for the club, for the football world. And it is a fantastic moment for us. Everybody knows Leo is the only football player who won 6 times Ballon d'Or. And with Leo, he makes the football magic, beautiful, and he's a winner.
Messi joins PSG as Barcelona's all-time record scorer and the winner of 4 Champions League and 10 La Liga titles. The 34-year-old Argentine forward spent his entire professional career with Barcelona. He was expected to end his career there, but late last week, the Spanish club admitted they could no longer afford to keep him. Many wondered how PSG was able to acquire Messi. But Al-Khelaifa insists the signing is well within European soccer's financial fair play rules.
You know, we follow the financial fair play regulation from the day one that we started until the end. We're going to always fulfill the regulation of the financial fair play. Before we do anything, basically, you know, we look out with our commercial people, with financial people, with legal people. So as soon as if you see that we sign in Leo, that's when we could have the capacity to sign him. If not, we're not going to sign him. We're not going to promise something we couldn't, so we know that we could sign him.
Messi has signed a 2-year contract with an option for a third with PSG. The deal will reportedly net him an annual salary of $41 million, a $30 million signing fee, plus bonuses. And with fans already scooping up Messi's PSG football jersey in Paris, Al-Khelaifa says the world will be shocked by the revenues the star player can bring to the club.
I think there's a lot of positive he's bringing to the club, and you can see in everything in the term of commercial, term of social media. It's amazing, honestly. He's, I mean, you know, a big asset for the club. The club being increased in every single part of the club in term of commercial. I mean, unbelievable. 3 days. I mean, you know, later we'll maybe give you some numbers. You're going to be shocked, honestly, in the numbers that we have.
Messi adds his name to a PSG roster that includes Brazil's Neymar and French World Cup winner Kylian Mbappe. And Messi will wear the number 30, the first squad number he wore with Barcelona. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Finally, unified welterweight boxing champion Errol Spence Jr. has pulled out of his much-anticipated bout against Manny Pacquiao because of a torn retina in his left eye. Spence was scheduled to fight Pac-Man August 21st in Las Vegas, Nevada. Taking Spence's place on August 21st will be WBA welterweight champion Yordenis Ugas of Cuba. Ugas was originally scheduled to fight on the undercard of Spence Pacquiao, and his WBA belt will be on the line. Man, And that wraps up the August 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.